episode 307, June 26th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
So we just recorded our newest bonus show. Look for that later on in the week. And again, is this another confusing number situation, Robbie, with this episode?
It's not confusing to me.
It's totally fucked up.
So the episode that you're hearing now is going to be titled "A Number Higher Than the Bonus Episode," which we'll hear after this show. That's basically what's happening, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
This is 307. The one we just recorded is 306.
Yeah, even though 307 will come out before 306.
Correct. Well,
to be downloaded before.
Well, it's a race. We'll see if Marcus can beat me.
Gee, wow! Can Marcus beat you? Can Usain Bolt beat you in running? I mean, come
hey,
on.
Marcus didn't get the show out till late Thursday this last week.
Yeah, that did surprise me. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, I didn't know Robbie was putting the show out. What happened, Marcus? Did you have a Robbie-type schedule? Were there a bunch of shows on your TiVo that you needed to watch?
If you recall, you guys would have been able to get it out on time if the recording hadn't been effed up by Robbie. Therefore, we recorded on Tuesday, which pushed into a schedule of mine that is relatively tight later in the week. So, yeah,
wow, that was your attitude was very Robbie-like in that answer.
Yeah. a lot of excuses, Marcus, for what we pay you. Well, that's a bad example. But the bonus show, I think it was another good one just to tease a few of the topics. Hey, Justin Labor, who didn't want to pay for our bonus show and made a stink about it. Yeah, we talked about that comment you left on our Facebook. Plus, we play the classic game that's sweeping the nation. F, Mary, Kill, Linda Carter Wonder Woman, cartoon Wonder Woman, or current Wonder Woman. And we talk about how Robbie attempted to sabotage our murder mystery. Check it out. Bonus show, episode 306, which you can download after episode 307.
Real tension. This is the episode for you.
But I love you guys.
Yes. Oh, and Marcus is especially unfunny this episode, so that's great. And and by the way, there's a tweet out right now that I wrote the worst joke of all time, and that I would never tweet. And so I asked Joe if he would tweet it, and right now it's doing pretty well. Go ahead and read that new tweet of yours, Joe.
New tweet is: did you hear about the white guy who joined ISIS, Vanilla ISIS?
Got
now,
five
it
likes.
Had, yeah, it's got five likes. Now, in to peel back the curtain, I think Robbie has liked it, and so has Marcus. But three of them are real people liking it. It's got a retweet too, so and a bunch of comments. It's got three comments.
Yeah. They're adding to the joke. It's becoming becoming a bit of yours when you get back on stage.
I'm going to start a hashtag Vanilla ISIS. It's going to sweep the nation.
How much money to get you to do a gig where we just give you those kind of jokes, that level of humor? You just go up there and just say them. No crowd.
It depends. Am I at Coco Lane or am I, you know, at Magoobies? Am I in front of a crowd of 300 or am I in front of a crowd of, you know, 30 people that will never see me again?
Opening for Justin at a 98 Rock event.
No, I can't. I mean, that would be a lot of money because, you know, I mean, I have a reputation of doing very, very well at those things. And I don't want people to be like, oh, this guy's great. Come watch him. And then I'm doing that.
So all right, it would be a lot. You're at an open mic, just a run-of-the-mill open mic in Baltimore somewhere.
So for an open mic, I would do it for free.
Well, and I happen to know some people.
I'm not kidding. At the Baltimore Comedy Factory, I mean, you'd be surprised at the money because, you know, I mean, I also have to maintain my job on 98 Rock. I need to, you know, sure. What I mean? I can't sully my name. So it'd probably be $5,000. I'm not kidding. All the jokes are like that. I'm up there for 25 minutes to complete silence. Yeah.
Well, no, you could be crushing. What if they just love you so much?
Am I allowed to do crowd work?
No crowd work, but you are allowed to close on the pie plate closer.
Okay. That's going to be just like these other jokes.
Hey, one more time, shout out to Mac Bergson. I've listened now to the full episode, and I got to be honest, Marcus, it's the first time I've ever listened to the entire episode. Usually I just listen to when you talk about us, but I listened to every second of Mac's exhilarating, scintillating performance. If you haven't heard it yet, it's the episode entitled Mac Bergson. And Mac went on to rank, we already talked last week how he ranked his favorite people on the show. Gramps won, me too, suck it. But he also ranked his favorite shows on the network, and he gave us the number one nod. So thank you, Mac.
Yeah, and if I'm being completely honest, I still only listen to when he talked about our show.
Yep, I believe you. Well, he was great in every other facet. Because sometimes, Marcus, you'll play a clip from Tony Perkins or whatever, then you'll set it up, and then you'll say something, and then you'll pause, and your guest says nothing. Not Mac. He chimed he added.
Can I make a complaint about the Mike O'Mara show? Am I allowed to do that?
As I'm appraising Mac Bergson, sure, you can go ahead and switch topics in the middle of one.
Well, no, I mean, it's still germane, right? Because I was just thinking about how I went ahead and went past all the shows that weren't ours, and of course, you know, the mothership is, or the fathership, however you want to look at it, is the Mike O'Mara show.
Sure.
But Rob Spiewak was in our murder mystery this Wednesday.
And did a great job.
He did an outstanding job. He went off the cuff.
Yes.
He was Abe Froman, the Sausage King. He threw in a joke of his own. The whole crowd loved it. It was, and the show was outstanding. We had a great moment where we play songs at the end, and the crowd just started singing one of the songs in unison. It really was a great, not just performance, but a moment. But either way, the next day, I'm like, oh, cool. Rob will tell that story on the Mike O'Mara show about, you know, all he never mentioned it. It doesn't get mentioned.
He mentioned,
it's not worthy of a mention.
He did talk about the fact that he was in the show and that you guys did the show, but he shared no significant detail.
Well, he was great in the show, and we saw his lovely wife, Carrie, continuing to try to compete with her love between Joe and I.
Hey, wait a second. I want to throw my hat in that ring.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought you were saying something. All right, you think that Carrie has a shine towards you as well, Rob?
Well, hold on.
I might be able to compete in this arena.
Hold on a second.
Oh, really?
I noticed this. So Robbie is over there, like, doing work, okay?
Yeah.
He's over there talking to her. It's his best effort, okay? I see it going on. So I just sidle up to just try to be like, all right, let me at least say hi, say a couple funny things, and then Costanza it out of there, right? Robbie won't stop talking. He's doing everything. He's pulling out all the stops. So I just make a smart remark and I leave. I never get an opportunity to kind of sell myself. So I saw what Robbie was doing. So that I refuse to count that because he purposely went in there to try to infiltrate. But
no, that's I think that's encouraged. Good for you, Robbie. You gotta go for it.
I also want to say what a great job Laura Reuter did.
Oh, the star of the show.
In terms of audience participation, she was a clear 1A. She was great, the wisecracking secretary from the Ferris Bueller universe. and she did an impersonation. It's pretty good. It's pretty,
yeah, pretty
good.
Pretty, yeah. Pretty dead on. She's also lost some weight. She's looking great. So good for you, Laura. Hank was there as well, her husband. Diana Barrett, a national hero, if I can say so. I mean, we had the tragedy in Alexandria with the shooting during the congressman's practicing for the baseball softball game. Well, she's an Alexandria police officer, and some of her, you know, partners in crime there. Well, that's a bad way of putting it, but some of her fellow colleagues. Police officers, colleagues, thank you, Robbie, were there to help save the day. So she's a hero by morning and then showing up to the murder mystery at night, solving a real crime. Yes.
Also, one more shout out, and then we'll actually get to content. But Jeff Hancock was there taking pictures, and man, they're great pictures. There's one that I want people to take a peek at. Where can they find that on Facebook? Where Eric is being?
Look up Jeff Hancock, or it's also on our page.
Yeah. Well, there's also the DC Improv. Chris White took some pictures himself that were also top notch. So
is that the Chris White picture? There's one where the crowd is just jumping up in like a frenzy. And I love that picture so much because it gives people an idea about how fucking hysterical the show is. But just to watch people just going nuts like that. And obviously, you know, you can't plan something like that. You can't stage it. You know, getting that moment. If that's Chris's picture, thank you, because It brings me such joy to look at that picture. It's exactly what we're trying to do.
Go to our Facebook page, Die Laughing Productions. We have both albums posted. Now I was, can I get back to what I was talking about? So, you know, we were going to talk about the improv. I was going to get us there, Joe, but you had to interject.
I get excited.
I know you got excited. You get thinking about Carrie Spiewak, but, Mac Bergson did a great job on AmeriCast. I have now claimed him the better Bergson, but I will give Scott the chance, and it's up to you, Marcus, but for him to go on AmeriCast and attempt to outdo his brother. Would you allow that to happen, Marcus?
Absolutely, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, Scott is in chat right now.
And okay, you have been challenged, Scott?
Scott, all you have to do is reach out to me directly. That's what your brother did. I'm not going to make that effort. You have to do what your brother did, but I will put you on the show, no problem.
Has Chris Restivo reached out yet?
Not a peep.
He's very busy. He's very busy day trading. But this is going to be an exciting show because we have Andy Klein is finally going to come on the show. He is the brother of Mike Klein, a.k.a. Eric the Actor, and one of my first and best friends in comedy and best friends in general, and a huge friend of Joe and Robbie's, and a fellow member of Irresponsible Radio. So we go back in a lot of different directions. So he's going to come on and shed some light about Eric the Actor, which Max spoke so eloquently about. So it's going to be an action-packed show.
I have a lot of fond memories of Andy on Irresponsible Radio. He used to do a segment called The Wrath of Klein, and we did it every week. And he used to write original material about Robbie? 3 minutes of
topic. Just,
and he just kill it every single week. Yeah. He would come in there and do it. Yeah, it was just outstanding.
No, I remember the first open mic I ever went to. And it was the second time I've ever been to any sort of comedy thing. And I was going to go on at this time. And I had no idea what to expect. And I saw Andy Klein up there talking about the guy, the gay serial killer that killed Versace. And it was such a great joke about they always had to call him the gay serial killer, as if being a serial killer wasn't bad enough. And they wanted him to fry. But then they found out, oh, he's killing other gays. Let him live. It was such a great joke and had levels. And it was so much smarter than anything I'd ever written or still had. And I was like, that guy, I got to be friends with that guy. And the rest is history. And now we can finally get him on the podcast. Have we never had him on before? Is that possible?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he also has.
What did he want to talk about?
I don't know. I mean, I've been on his. He's got three guys on a podcast he does with Randolph, Terrence, and Tim Miller. But I've been on that. And we haven't had him on this. But we had a busy week. We had the improv. Then we went to Lorton, Virginia, where we had two sold-out murder mysteries at the Lorton, the Workhouse Art Center, the former prison. Thank you to Ramin and Cool Cow Comedy.
One thing we noticed when we were walking in there, I don't know if you saw this, Robbie, but in the prison there were windows that spelled out the word love.
I didn't see that.
And we were wondering, was that there when the prison was here? I mean, is that where the people were dragged against their will for man love?
Yeah.
If that was the case, Robbie would
say man love.
Yeah. Told his in-laws about it during dinner, but either way.
I will say this about the newly dead game is the murder mystery that we did at Lorton. And it's the most homoerotic of all of our shows. And, you know, we've talked about how Eric and Tommy and Justin will basically do anything. But I do think they tend to take it too far. I mean, this was an older crowd. I mean, Tawanda's parents were there, by the way. You gave Tawanda's mom a role in the murder mystery, unbeknownst that it was her.
She was good.
She had a great time, by the way. But Eric, you know, he's dressed in this orange spandex, you know, tight, ridiculous outfit. And he's got something, you know, a bulge that's some sort of padding or something. Sock, I don't know. Well, Tommy has like an audience member touch it. He just takes this woman's hand and has her grab it. I mean, that, I feel like we're crossing a line at that point, right?
Well, you understand that that's, if they decide they don't like that, there's somebody's pressing charges. Now, it was a sock. It wasn't really what he had. It was just a sock. But either way, you know, I got to stop doing that.
Right.
You know, one day somebody's going to say, I have a problem with that. And we're going to lose a cast member. They're going to end up in jail. They have to register as a sex offender every time we do a show somewhere.
Or someone's going to walk in who runs the place and see that and cancel out all the goodwill we've done by saying no more shows here. We will not have that murder mystery.
I was going to change the subject real quick back to what we were talking about in chat. Sure. Somebody, Gramps is in there. What about Gramps on Omericast?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. Gramps, you're more than welcome to come on the show.
But you understand that Gramps can't reach out to you because he doesn't know how to reach out.
Well, then we're going to have to work together in order to get him someplace where he can speak to me, you know, come to either your house or Robbie's house. We'll set him up. We'll get him on the show. But I also recognize, too, that he probably only listens to one show. So we would have to dedicate that entire show to the Rob and Joe show.
Well, Gramps would be more than happy. Yeah, he'll listen to the other shows.
Okay.
I mean, you understand that my father, Robbie, wastes a lot of his life on television, but he's a child compared to Gramps. I mean, Gramps literally just invests his entire days watching crime shows, like hours and hours and hours of crime shows. I'm sure that he could take some time out of that to listen to, you know, 3 hours worth of content.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to have him on the show. And maybe I could get an extra Gramps story out of him.
Speaking of Gramps story, is he in chat, by the way? Is he agreeing to do this?
Yes, he's here.
Okay. I do have a Gramps story. It's not of the sexual variety. Are we still interested?
Okay.
So, well, here we go again. I was driving through Brooklyn yesterday. Is that true? He was in Brooklyn. He goes to New York
City? Brooklyn, Maryland.
Okay. I didn't know that's a place. I was driving through Brooklyn yesterday when I saw a police car, so I hit the brakes. As soon as I passed him, he pulled out behind me and lights started flashing. I pulled over and he directed me to take a turn onto the side street. He came to my window and said, "Do you know how fast you were going?" I told him I didn't, and he said, "You're going 55 and a 35. I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't realize the speed limit was that low." Then I used my old ruse that worked for me once before. "I have an urgent bladder problem, and I'm trying to get home before I have an accident." He looked at the driver's license I had given him and said, "You live in Crownsville. I suggest you stop somewhere before you get home." He told me to wait to return to his vehicle, and I said a prayer for a warning rather than a ticket. He quickly returned with a warning and again suggested I stop on the way. If you guys ever get stopped, use the urgent bladder ruse. See if it only works for an old man.
Yeah, you have to be in your 70s to use that.
Well, Aaron Jackson, a comedian friend of ours, has used the I have diarrhea line, which I think is an effective for a woman, especially effective, I think, because I think the cop is probably thinking, well, a woman is less likely to say that than a man.
Yes.
And therefore, she must be telling the truth. So, I mean, the urgent bladder, I don't think it's going to work. See, if I say it or you say it, well, me, they might think that I've been drinking. And that's going to make things worse.
Can I say this? If I knew that it would work, I still wouldn't say it. Well, I would be too. I can't even hardly watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. I get so uncomfortable. You think I'm going to tell somebody I'm about to piss myself? I just can't see myself really pretending I'm going to shit my pants or piss myself. I just can't see myself doing that. Even if I knew I'd get out of, you know how hard it was for me to walk up and hand somebody a $20 bill in between a credit card and a driver's license in Vegas. I don't think I can do it.
Well, I got a ticket like 6 months ago for not moving over to the far left lane when there was a cop pulled over on the shoulder pulling someone over. And that was a $100 ticket. Then my insurance went up $30 a month because I no longer have the X amount of years without a ticket thing. So I would have gladly used that ruse to save the $500 or whatever it's going to be costing me. But you go ahead and be shy and embarrassed, Joe.
Well, that thing, Gramps just says in chat, you'd rather get a ticket? No, I wouldn't rather. I can't do it. It's not a matter of a preference. I can't bring myself to embarrass myself in that manner. I don't think maybe I'll try it. But then if I still get the ticket, I'm going to be mad at myself for doing it and then not getting reaping the reward.
Well, Andy Klein is about to join us. Before we take a break, Eric the actor, before he was mentioned on the show as Eric the Actor, or actually, I guess he was mentioned early on, but Mike Klein was actually mentioned by name on the show on episode number 14. I'd forgotten about this.
It's 17.
Episode 17, regarding a comment that he left on his Podbean page. And you'll remember this, Joe, once we start playing it, because it is a classic Robbie. So as we go to break, let's play that clip.
Stay on the subject of Robbie and sort of on Three Guys On, Andy Klein, one of our comic friend on that broadcast. One of our listeners who follows us on Podbean is his brother Mike Klein. And he actually gave us the idea a couple episodes back for me to call the couple friend of mine and ask if they could be our nanny.
Yeah, I think that was a Podbean comment, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, and then we had also had a conversation about Veronica Belmont. I don't even know who that is. She's some internet sensation.
She's like a tech chick who Robbie had the hots for that
at
the time, I guess, was completely unknown, but Robbie booked her anyway because he was stalking her.
Right. So this guy, Mike Klein, he's a friend of mine, and he's been a good follower of our show. So he posts on our Podbean, and he's basically having a conversation with Robbie. Is that you all need to apologize to Robbie for trying to book Veronica. She has 1.6 million Twitter followers, a few more than we do.
Wow.
Yeah. A plug for your show could be gold. I'm guessing now that she is as famous as she is, it will be difficult to get in touch with her. So, again, Robbie, speaking as Robin Joe Show, I don't know if Mike knows who he's talking to, he says, I didn't try to book her, capital letters try. I did, capital letters, book her. It was on Joe's old show on 98 Rock. I could book her on the Robin Joe Show tomorrow if these two wanted to talk to her.
Okay, Robin. So hold on. So it was obviously not only like a compliment, but almost defending Robbie. Like, hey, this person is of significance. You guys might be crapping on her, but to Robbie, he's letting him know, no, this person is, they're a big deal. And yeah, Robbie responded by just taking a dump completely on him.
Yeah, this guy's saying, hey, that would be a tough get. You know, why would I think you could get it? She has 1.6 million Twitter followers. You have 16 episodes. So, but and hit Robbie with the capital letters. It's very aggressive. I mean, what's up with the attitude?
This so guy, we have a listening fan, and we have a fan. He is he's a consistent listener. He actually adds to the content, and Robbie has driven him away. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because that was the last comment on that thread, and we've had two episodes posted since. Zero comments from one Mike Klein. Robbie, defend
yourself. Yes.
Dick Wade.
Well, first confirm that he's gone away because I don't buy that.
Well, he's
you mean confirm it right now?
I mean, he's not dead. I mean, he hasn't commented on the last two Podbean posts.
You okay. Think he's like, screw that guy.
Well, that might be your fault, not mine.
What? You treated him poorly after he defended you and lent to the show. I mean,
that's not my perception. My perception, I was just clarifying.
I just read there's no perception.
There's a lot of capital letters. And
there was tone. There, you put a tone in it that I did not intend.
Well, what tone did you mean by all cap with the word try and did? What,
yes.
Did you, how should I read that?
Weren't you emphasizing? Read it only emphasizing those two words. Just read it robotically, only emphasizing those two words.
I didn't try to book her. I did
Yeah, so, obviously, that's the thing. It's like, you might say try, I already did, go screw yourself. That's what I hear when I hear it.
Okay, well, I will apologize personally, and if Mike Klein, if you're listening, I apologize profusely.
Well, he's not listening now.
Well, he stop listening.
No, he listens. He downloads it. He listens to the podcast.
Well, and Mike, we appreciate your comments. Thank you for all your ideas, and keep listening.
And I did thank him for the idea, by the way.
In the comments, or personally?
I sent him an email.
Oh, so now you got your own little thing here. Okay.
That changes things. All right. So you had a personal communication with him. Yes. In public, you want to berate him, but on the side, you let him know everything's cool. I got it.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show. From the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and the newly dead game comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under a dollar a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Next performance, July 1st at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Welcome back. That's classic Robbie. Just being a dick for no reason and then defending it. But we referenced him in that past clip from all the way from back episode 17. But joining us, the brother of Eric the Actor, our greatest fan possibly, Mr. Andy Klein. What's up, Andy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is my first time on your podcast.
Yeah, we were just talking about how that's an oversight. I mean, how could that be? We have 307 episodes, never had you on. What's wrong with us?
Yeah, I think you did mine in the first within the first 200.
Yes.
Probably. So I think we got you beat.
No, you did. But I've only, between the two of us, we have like, 600 episodes or something. We've been on once. One cross promotion. So
it's horrible. You think we would have some kind of conglomerate, some network by now, but nothing.
You would.
Think. Andy used to do a weekly segment, as I mentioned before, in Irresponsible Radio, and I remember he used to do it every single week for free, and then the only thing he wanted was that clip, and Theo wouldn't send it to him. Theo, my prior radio partner, wouldn't send him the clips. So you would drive from, where were you living at the time? Idaho.
Well, I was living in New York, but I would come back. No, actually, I was back from New York. I had moved back from New York. I would come from Arlington every Thursday.
It was like 2-hour drive every Thursday, and all he said was, "Can you just send it to me?" And somehow he couldn't. Do you have those at all, Andy? Or did you ever get any of them?
I think I got a handful of them. I probably have them somewhere, and then one time randomly, there was one or two that popped up on iTunes. I don't know how they got on iTunes, but they were up there.
I bought them.
Yeah, we've been making thousands off them on Sound Exchange. Yes.
Yeah, I'll get my fractions of a penny from that. My royalties for that.
One more thing about Andy. Robbie has such a man crush on Andy, a comedy man crush. It's so ridiculous. So Robbie, Theo just got a job in Chicago. It's Market 3. Here we are podcasting to dozens and my former radio partners in Chicago. Either way, he asked Robbie, he goes, "Hey, do you have any clips from the old, Irresponsible Radio?" And he sends this this game. And the game is, I think it was called,
It's called Theo, Joe, both or neither.
Right. Theo, Joe, both or neither, where these ridiculous questions are asked and the audience has to answer it. Andy was the host. He read the questions, right? So I remember listening to it just cracking up. It's so funny. And after it's all over, I go, "Man, that was such a great segment." And Robbie goes, "Well, Andy was the real star of that segment."
Well, is he wrong, though?
I'm like, he's just reading the goddamn questions. Can you get out of his ass long enough to just enjoy the segment? Whatever, doesn't matter.
So this whole time, we had this listener, Andy, named, who went by Eric the Actor from the Howard Stern Show. And he would be in our chat room when we do the show live, like we're doing right now. And he especially loved to, you know, kind of needle me and Joe to a lesser extent. But he liked to take shots at us, to stir things up. Sometimes I thought, you know, just for no reason. Other times he was making good points. But he definitely added to the show without question. So, you know, when your brother unfortunately passed away some, whatever it is, 15 months ago, you know, it never dawned on me that that was the same person, because around that time, exactly that time, this guy stopped, you know, listening to our show and in the chat room, and just and J.L. Covan's Righteous Prick podcast stopped completely. And it took me that long to figure it out. But did you have any idea that this was happening?
No, I mean, I guess I knew who that Twitter feed was a little bit. Like, you know, I listened to your show enough to kind of be aware. I was never in the chat, so I didn't really have total knowledge of that. I knew that my brother listened to your show sometimes, and he listened to JL sometimes, and he listened to my podcast sometimes, because he would kind of reference things that would come up. Mm-hmm. And then that Eric the Actor, we were texting about this, that Twitter feed. I actually went and searched through Twitter. There was only one interaction that I had. It was like a Dan Ninen argument,
right,
where Eric the Actor tagged me and Jared Stern into the argument. And we just like spent an afternoon like for like, you know, just five or six tweets making fun of Dan Ninen. And
I remember that. Was,
yeah. And that was pretty much it. So I didn't really know, like, are you 100% sure? Like, I mean, like, what's your evidence? Just the timeline or the personality of, because you know.
No, there's a ton of circumstantial evidence. I mean, first of all, he was a former military. He had talked about his relationships, which mirrored your brother's. He talked about where he lived. He talked about
a live-in girlfriend. He loves Howard Stern. He, I mean, we mentioned that Mark, his Captain Cupcake, was his cohort, and I guess that was Mark Hahn. And didn't Captain Cupcake in chat say correct to that, Robbie?
He put a smiley face. I don't know if that meant yes or no.
And then he, Captain Cupcake, posted a picture of your brother, an old military photo. I don't know how he would have that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, you could probably ask Mark Hahn. He, you know him better than I do. But, yeah, and then literally his last tweet coincided with when you basically sent that email to everybody letting know that what had happened.
Yeah.
Your brother's last tweet, and he had a different name at that point, but their tweets, their last tweets are one day apart.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't he change it? Because I couldn't find that Eric the Actor Twitter feed.
He changed to Rodney46 Big Break, because he'd always, you know, take shots that, you know, that's we're all clinging to this in the industry, that Rodney Dangerfield didn't make it until age 46. And knowing your brother, that sounds like something he would say, right?
That's a classic Mike Klein joke, actually.
Yes.
He'll find whatever thing he can dig at you with and just run that into the ground.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's right up the alley. And then, you know, I don't know if you listened to that stuff that I sent you, Mac Bergson, you know, one of our biggest fans. You know, he and your brother talked, you know, as, you know, on Twitter and stuff, and they shared some stories about being, you know, ex-military and things. But now when I think back about it, I mean, your brother, tell us the story about how when you moved to LA and you delivered pizza for years, and he wrote like a recommendation letter for comedy clubs as your Pizza Hut manager or something.
Yeah. You know what's funny about all these stories? Like, they're so normal to me that, like, you and Mike Payne were the ones who remembered all this stuff.
Right.
And I was like, oh, right, what, that? So I think it was when I moved to New York, he said something about how he was going to write it wasn't comedy clubs. He was going to write Pizza Hut recommendation letters so that I could get a job working at Pizza Hut, which I guess in New York is so competitive that you need an in. Not that I would know that.
He literally wrote something out.
He wrote something out. It was like it came up in an email. And I think Payne still had the email. I must have deleted it.
Did you use it to try to get work?
No, and it hurt me because I was unemployed for a few months. I could have used the income.
You know, what's interesting is that I guess he was clearly closest to Rob. If I met your brother, it might have been one time. I don't remember meeting him. But yeah, clearly Rob is the one who had the closest relationship. And, man, he used to just destroy Rob. Yeah. And Robbie, who's the one who reacted so angrily to him in this show's inception, that was who he loved the most, Robbie. Every time Robbie would get on, he would side with Robbie like it was his son.
Yeah, it's Rob was okay. So when we all started like hanging out, me, Mike Payne, Chad Heft, Rob, you know, our little crew.
Were you writing Blame the Victim at this time, yeah, or was this before?
Yes, we were.
We were writing Blame the Victim. We did a radio show demo.
Yeah.
I have that somewhere.
Yeah. Money Shots.
Oh, you got to give us that,
yeah,
Randy.
Money Shots in it. your face radio.
Yeah, in your face radio. We booked studio time.
We paid money.
We actually recorded a demo.
Idiots. Yeah.
So around that time, you guys started hanging out at my place. And my brother, because we lived together, he would become kind of the star of the show. And then it came to a point where you guys started coming over kind of just to hang out with him.
Yes.
I remember
that. We would egg him on because he would mess with people. And no, we never
if
really
he wasn't there, you'd be disappointed. Like, you would walk in and say, oh, is my client? Where's my client? I'd be like, oh, you know, he's at work. And you guys would be let down by that.
Right.
Like, checking your watches. Like, I've got to go.
Those guys were never at work, so they were always available. Right. Mike was the one who had the job.
Well, Mike, right. I mean, he knew that I was broke. He'd make fun of that. He'd make fun of the driving class, which he knew well. I mean, he knew that's how you got the gig, driving class.
Yeah.
I got it from you, but you got it from his friend, John, who owns the company. Or maybe you knew John on your own. But so that, and I borrowed money from your brother twice in my life. Now I paid him back. But so he knew that, like, you know, when he was talking about me not having money, he knew that he had more of an
first-hand
inside.
First-hand information.
First-hand, yeah. Now, I always have you tell the story that you would tell about when you two worked at Wendy's in high school.
Oh, yeah. Well, I worked at Popeye's. He worked at Wendy's, which were, like, on the same street.
Competitive.
But one time, me and Mark, actually, went to Wendy's to hang out. And Mike was working. He was behind the counter working. He used to do this thing where we would go and hang out, and he would, like, you know, Wendy's used to have these cookies, these big, oversized, like, chocolate chip cookies, and he would just stuff them in his pockets, and he would come home with cookies. So we would go, and, like, he'd hook us up with food sometimes. So we would hang out there occasionally, and one night there was this woman there named Betty who was, like, she had to have been, like, 60 years old, and she was just another employee, just like him. She didn't outrank him at all. And he was 15. and this is back. Wendy's, I don't think, does this anymore, but they used to have this microphone system where the person on the register would take your order and they would get on the microphone and say your order to the cooks. But, like, the whole restaurant could hear the microphone. So somehow he and Betty got into an argument. I think we probably showed up mid that argument, but they got into some kind of argument. So Mark and I were just sitting in the dining room. And then my brother gets on the microphone and goes, oh, yeah, well, at least I won't be 60 years old working at Wendy's. And so we start laughing. And then she starts yelling at him. We can't hear what she's saying. But he's like, oh, 60 years old working at Wendy's. Same job I have. Same title. 60 years old. I'm 15.
Was and there a starts, manager around at the time?
The manager, he was in the office. He had no control. So then she starts yelling at him, and he just kind of just gets back on the microphone, you know, just, I guess, chat room style, just starts going in about, at least if I'm working here, if I'm 60 years old working here, I'm going to kill myself. There's no way I would work here at 60 years old. I'm 15 years old. I got the same job you have, same title. You don't have the authority over me. You can't tell me what to do. And then she grabs, like, a cup of ice, and she starts chasing him, and he comes out from behind the counter and goes outside of Wendy's, and she follows him, and she's throwing ice at him, and they go all the way around Wendy's.
He had to be able to easily outrun her, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think he was letting her stay close, you know, and so...
taunting her. Yeah, a lot like what he used to do with Rob. So
yeah,
now right, it just exactly. sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's our guy.
And they went all the way around, and we were just watching them go all the way around Wendy's and back. He came back in the door, runs back behind the counter, and he's, oh, 60 years old, throw ice at me. 60-year-old woman, throwing ice at a teenager. chasing me around, and she finally gave up. There was a couple in the lobby eating. They were like holding hands. They were freaked out by the whole thing. It was hilarious.
That's our buddy. Now, yeah. I always thought that Mike liked me, but from him in the chat room, is it? I mean, did he not like me? I mean, do you have any insight in that?
Well, I think, I mean, as far as the chat stuff goes, from what I've heard, that's kind of how he used to be toward me. So
yeah,
well, that right. That, I think that's what he does with people he cares about. He bullies them. That was a sign of affection, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, thanks.
That was like when we were growing up. That would be we would argue like we get. That's how I sort of became funny, is because we would argue and we would just roast each other. And so our friends would come over and we would be just sitting in the living room, just arguing back and forth. He would pick fights with me and I would always, you know, have little witty comebacks. And our friends would come over just to like hear us argue. Like when we had friends over, we knew we would kind of put on a show almost. We would kind of play it up a little bit, but he would just start picking fights with me. Anything I would do, he would find some negative thing to say about it.
Now
and
he's
start
older
getting on
than
my
you,
case.
Right, Andy?
Yeah, like 13 months, like a year.
Now, you guys ever duke it out? You don't look like somebody that would just start taking a swing, but back when you were younger, right? Maybe you got your dander up?
Well, he was way bigger than me. That's the other problem. He was only a year older, but always like a foot taller, always like 100 pounds heavier. I was a small kid. So the two or three times we actually fought, like it was no contest. He destroyed me. And like his fist was the size of my face, you know, so we didn't have those kind of fights. So I had to just out argue him. So I would just come up with funny comebacks and just make fun of him. But he would take anything. Like if I backed my car into a parking space, he'd be, oh, you're one of the people that backs your car into a parking space. And he would just roast me for like 5 minutes on that.
By the way, he's right about that. Do you really back into parking spaces? The only person I know that backs their car into, by the way, I'm sorry, that white person that backs the car into a parking space is Robbie Robinson. He's the only person that I know who backs in. Until now, Andy, you were also back in?
No, but I had a phase, like, you know, I had to determine whether I was a back in guy.
Yeah, you all go through that.
You know, you have to determine that. So he would just take any little thing and just turn it into a negative thing and just start, like, making fun of it. That was just his method, you know?
Now, this story goes back a ways. I don't know if you're comfortable telling it about the, you know, because I know you had arguments with your mom as a child, and there was something about that Michael Jackson song. Is that too personal to tell?
No, because they used to, well, we all used to fight, but they used to, like, you know, I was quiet, so I would just, like, say stuff under my breath. My brother would actually, like, yell back and forth with our mother. And then one time, after some particular fight, she went into her room and, like, you know, closed the door, locked it. And so he got out our boombox, and we had this little boombox. He pulled out the Michael Jackson Off the Wall tape and queued up She's Out of My Life. So he sat at the top of the steps right outside of her room, blasting She's Out of My Life, singing along, like, earnestly to the lyrics.
Man, your mom must have been so grateful for the Rob and Joe show as he turned his attention to Rob.
Yeah, well, at that point, yeah, this is when we were kids, too. Like, we were, like, you know, 13, 14 years old at that point. Like, he just had no fear. He had no fear of authority. That was always his thing. He would talk back to teachers. He would correct teachers when they were wrong. Like, just complete opposite of me. I was, like, quiet, sit in the corner, don't say anything. And he was constantly, like, getting sent out into the hall because he would disrupt class. Our middle school principal used to tell him, like, you know, you got to straighten up, you know, college. You know, colleges look back at your records. They're going to look back at middle school. And he would be like, no, they won't. They don't look at middle school transcripts. What are you talking about? You have no authority over me.
He's right. He's right about that. I didn't know that, by the way. I remember. You remember the referral? Did you guys have those?
I don't remember.
If you were bad, they gave you a referral and they sent you to the office and they terrified you that these referrals, you had them like herpes. You had them forever.
I remember me and Mike Payne would make fun of your brother about that, the story he told, because he played high school football and he played left tackle. And I've never heard of this or seen this in my life, Joe, and I don't think you have either, where the left tackle The quarterback is pitching it to the left, to the running back. And the left tackle misses his block so badly that the defensive end gets by, intercepts the pitch, and takes it all the way to the end zone. And that happened to him to apparently lose some championship game, if I'm correct.
It was a big game. This is the thing. When we were talking about that, we kind of discovered that was his block as we were all sitting in a room talking.
Right.
Like, my high school team, I don't know if it's a district title or whatever it was. It was against some rival school, and it was a crucial moment in the game. And yeah, they pitched the ball. This guy gets through the line, catches the pitch in stride, goes the other way. And for years, I never asked about that play. For years, that was just like, oh, that sucked, but how did we lost that game? And then one day, the four, like me, you, Mike Payne, and my brother were sitting in a room. That story came up, and I think I even said, so that was that your man? And he was like, I don't want to talk about that. And so, we had no idea he had lost this huge game 20 years earlier, and I had a missed opportunity to roast him about it.
Yeah. What's strange is that your brother seems like someone who would have rather had that story than the championship.
Right.
No, I think at the time he probably wanted to. He probably fancied himself.
No, at the time. Yeah. But 20 years later, you missed another 250-pound kid. And that kid intercepts the pitch and you lose the championship. By the way, what is a high school division championship? Doesn't mean anything, but that story is priceless.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Well, I mean, I said this to you when you sent over the email. I mean, I remember it was a great time. It was a great time just because we were all starting comedy and we all knew each other through comedy, you and Chad and Mike and Marby and Elizabeth, who's now your wife. But I mean, we all met just because of comedy and because of Wiseacres, and just going over there and hanging out and writing Blame the Victor.
You didn't mention Mike Diesel. He was there too.
And Mike Diesel, Andy Campbell, we've mentioned before, who we've been seeing more recently here in the last couple of years. But no, it was just so much fun. It really, really was.
Yeah, yeah, and my apartment kind of became at some point like a meeting place,
yeah,
for the four of us. And my brother was always there because he lived there. He would order pizzas. That was the whole thing. He would just walk in the door and say, "What do you want on it?"
Yeah,
as he's picking up the phone.
And yeah, it was just a given.
And so it was like, yeah, he was just like a big personality. Like, he was way different from me. He was very outgoing. He was like a character. And he was a lot. I think you guys thought he was funnier than me, which was, debatable. But
well,
you
he's
guys
like
would quote him constantly. Yeah.
He's like Tim Moran is in your crew, Joe, and that like if he's on stage or trying to be funny, he's not going to work. But in that environment, he's going to be owning the room.
Yeah, he probably was funnier than you in that that being his stage, your apartment.
Yeah, yes.
You weren't ordering pizzas either, so there's that tip.
Yeah, I was delivering them, but there was I remember one time we were at Rob's place, and somehow my brother starts bashing Rob. And he started, when he broke into song, he like improvised 10 verses about Rob. He would always do stuff like that. He would just, he used to sing for no reason.
Yes.
He used to talk to his fist.
Yeah.
So like.
He'd ham it up and it worked. Yeah.
Yeah. He's arguing with Rob and then, he would talk to his fist as always under his breath. Like, I know you want to go over there and hit him, but don't do it. Stuff like that. Like just weird, like character stuff.
And he'd say really yes, was, no. He'd ask you a question, and he goes, you want something to eat? Yes, no? He'd just basically tell you those are your two choices, yes or no.
Right. He was great in our chat room. He really was. Now, he would infuriate me, and he knew it, because we would be in the middle of a conversation. I would look over, and like, this jackass, and I couldn't control my thought. I couldn't concentrate on our conversation reading the shit that he was writing in here. He was... Yeah. He was our best listener. He really was, in terms of what he contributed to the show. And I mean, we long before we put it together, Andy, we always talked about how much we missed him. And by the way, we had no idea that he wasn't with us anymore. We just knew that we thought that he had a day job and he couldn't listen, or who knows. But it was very odd, as much as he participated, that all of a sudden he went dark. Nobody heard from him. We didn't hear from him. He was nowhere to be found.
And yeah. Same thing with JL's show, because it wasn't like, oh, maybe he just hates our show now. I mean, what were the odds that now he suddenly stopped liking JL Covan's show as well? Yeah. Well, you know, you have a new CD out. It's called Vintage. The cover of it is a picture of you and Mike as children, correct?
Yeah, I'm like 2 or 3 years old, and he's a year older in that picture.
Right.
Which was taken in 1977. I don't know much about that picture. It just somehow wound up, one of my relatives uploaded to Facebook one day. But yeah, that's him in the picture. If you guys want to see the picture, you can just look it up on iTunes and, you know, buy the album while you're there.
Yeah, it's super funny. I own it.
Or buy
it's
the
awesome.
Picture.
Or buy the picture. But, I mean, we do have a clip. I guess it's I don't know, maybe it's sort of dark in terms of what happened, you know, with your brother unfortunately passing away. But it is an hilarious clip. So we'll play that as we go to break here. But, Andy, thank you for coming on. Your brother was hilarious to me and just in personal life, getting to know him and going over to your house. And then what he did unbeknownst to us here on the show was invaluable. So thank you for coming on.
Before you kick Andy off, we have that eulogy that we're going to play. I want Andy to hear that. Can we, we're going to play a clip from Andy's. Can you hang on and hear that, that clip as well? All right.
Yeah. So let's go to break and we'll play the clip from Andy CD.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it, so should you.
There was a guy in China who played Warcraft for 30 consecutive hours and then he just died. Yeah, he didn't respawn or anything. It was over for that dude. And all these people came on the internet, they were like, it's all right though, at least he died doing something that he loved. Isn't that great to die doing what you love? That's great, isn't it? No. Really? Finally, some shit happens in your life that you love to do and you gotta die in the middle of it? The McRib returns? You're about to bite into one and you die? No, I'd much rather die doing something I hate, because at least that day might get better. I wanna die holding a purse at a farmer's market. It gets no lower as a man than that moment, just holding a purse in front of peaches, just standing there. No one tweets kill me now when they're getting a blowjob, all right? It's much better to die doing what you hate. Those stories make a lot more sense to me. It's like, hey, did you hear what happened to Tom? No, what happened to Tom? Well, get this. His wife dragged him to this Nickelback concert, right? And right before they came out, he dropped dead. Isn't that awesome? 20,000 people had to watch Nickelback for 2 hours. Tom was decomposing. That's how I want to go. Because nobody really believes it's a good idea to die doing what you love, because we don't do that in practice. What are the only deaths we control? Animals, right? Our pets. You put your dog out of its misery. No one puts their dog out of its ecstasy. You never hear that story, like, oh man, that puppy sure loves chasing that frisbee around. Anyone got a hammer? Fucking hold still, Sparky. You're about to die doing what you love. Gets no better than this. That was a fictional dog, guys. You're a little sad on that one. It's fine.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe show.
Classic, classic Andy Klein, Vintage, buy it on iTunes. Welcome back to the show. Can we play the eulogy from Mac Bergson? And I'd like to get Andy's thoughts on that. Is that okay, Robbie?
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
The Moore Network family has lost one of its own. Eric, the actor from Rob and Joe, passed away and has left a gaping hole in the hearts of the fans of that show. Eric was with the show from the very beginning, even before it became part of the Moore Network. In episode 2, super producer Robbie started a chat feature where listeners could provide instant feedback on the show. And in episode 3, Rob and Joe began mentioning particularly funny lines from the chat. It's no surprise that Eric the Actor was the first name mentioned. Through this feature, Eric the Actor achieved what most of us only dream about with our favorite shows. He vaulted from P1 status to actually being part of the show. Eric had the ability to instantly find Rob or Joe's pain points and apply pressure. Some of the best moments of Rob and Joe was when he could get one of the hosts to completely derail the show to address one of Eric's comments. We all loved Eric for this and tried to emulate him. His attacks on Rob's MocoVox gig and Joe mentioning how young his girlfriend is are particularly legendary. Recently, there was a discussion on who should be on the Mount Rushmore of Rob and Joe Show listeners. That discussion should have started and ended with Eric the Actor. So great was his contribution, only one head deserves to be on that mountain. Eric the Actor was a pseudonym. Eric's real name was Mike Klein, brother of comedian Andy Klein. Mike was an Army veteran and a devoted family man. He loved animals and helped at-risk kids in his community. I'm sad that I never got to meet the man behind Eric the Actor, but take great solace in knowing that I have seen the work of one of the all-time greats. Mike, I look forward to having a drink with you at Fiddler's Green as we regale each other with stories about the Mike Finazzo song, Rob gouging veterans for download cards, and his failed regulars gig. Rest in peace, Mike. You were a genius.
And there you have it, Andy. You could have had Mac Bergson at the funeral.
We could have. I mean, I guess, you know, I got videos of the funeral. I guess I could send those to people if they want them. But I killed it. My eulogy destroyed. I told the Wendy story. It was great.
Did you really?
I did. You know, it's funny. Like that's I treated it. It was, you know, because we've been doing comedy so long. Like after I got done speaking, I was like, oh man, I forgot a line. Like it was a set.
Right. No one could follow your eulogy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I wish it was a late show so I could get it right.
What's an easier place to crush? The speech at the wedding, the best man speech, or the eulogy?
Oh, the best man speech is way easier, right?
Yeah, but in the funeral, they're looking. They're wanting some laughter. They want, you know, so if you can give them something, they're going to really respond.
Well, there's usually a dead body there during the eulogy.
I know how it works. I know that's why there's a funeral.
But at the funeral, you're following three or four people who were not trying to be funny.
Yeah, that's true.
So the like at a wedding, like probably the two or three people who speak before you, they're already getting huge laughs. So the crowd isn't really thirsty for laughs anymore.
It's almost like following people at Wiseacres back in the day. So they're just three people not trying to get laughs, just bombing. And it feels like a funeral there. Well, Andy, thank you. Tell us how we can find you online and on your podcast.
I'm on Twitter. It's AndyKlein74. My podcast is Three Guys On, the word three guys on. It's me and a couple of the comics, Randolph Terrence, and then a third, just a rotating guest. You can go to threeguyson.com or Stitcher or iTunes, everywhere people listen to podcasts. And I'm technically on Instagram at AndyKlein, but I don't post on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. Right. Yeah. Yeah, not really.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
See you, bro.
Thanks, Andy.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Scott Bergson just put in chat, the audio from the funeral can be a Patreon extra. Yeah, let's sell that.
Seems a little weird.
Also, the radio show demo that you guys did, that's got to be a Patreon feature.
Yeah, I'll get on Andy. I mean, I'd like someone to, I mean, I guess I could do it, but I guess we could scan it. But I'd like to get Blame the Victim available to be read online. So in closing, Scott Bergson, the challenge has been put forth to you to defeat your brother in the Battle of America. This Saturday, we kick off July at the Brightbox Theater in beautiful downtown Winchester, Virginia. Two more chances to see Back to the 80s. Can you outdo Laura Ruder and Rob Spiewak? The onus is on you, audience. But we expect two more sellouts, and check it out, dielaughingproductions.com later.
Love you guys.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.